Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining this week is a very interesting and brilliant young reporter, Matt Hamilton, Capital Bureau reporter and blogger on Capital Confidential for the Albany Times Union. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Well, it's great. I notice you're very young.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that changes your perspective? Your personal perspective. I know you're a reporter, you're not supposed to get personally involved and all the rest, but does it change your perspective when you see a Shelley Silver, Dean Skelos, or even an Andrew Cuomo occasionally doing things that you might not personally admire?
Well, I mean, with Shelley especially, when I first started working at the Capitol, you know, he's the Sheldon Silver. For as long as I've been alive, he's been a member of the Assembly.
And much longer.
And much longer, right. And he was Speaker for more than two decades, and I'm only 23 years old. I mean, he was Speaker as long as... the name Sheldon Silver is huge. And so when Shelley got arrested, it was hard to wrap my head around, like, this is a guy who the people of the state of New York have trusted for so long, and at least the people of his district. You know, polls will show that, you sure. know, people's thoughts on Sheldon Silver, you know, he was corrupt, he was what have you. But, you know, he worked for the state of New York and did so many things for the state of New York for so long, and then in an instant, it was over. He was arrested. He went down, and he stopped being Speaker. And he went back to the rank and file and just kind of faded into the background. I still have trouble wrapping my head around that. That's crazy because, like I said, he was the Speaker. He was the Sheldon Silver for so long. I grew up knowing the name Sheldon Silver.
So there's a 51-year difference between you and me. And yet I feel exactly the same way.
Right.
I mean, you know, we had Shelley on this program God knows how many times. And he had heard Mario Cuomo, it was quite clear to me, having fun on the Capital Connection, and he used to say, "Hi, I'm Sheldon Silver." And, you know, I mean, he was in touch with that stuff. And it never occurred to him that what he was doing, in my opinion, was wrong. You know, a crook goes, I go rob the bank now. But I think Shelley and Dean Skelos and everybody said, well, this is the way we do it here. Well, in fact, that was a defense.
And that was his defense in the trial was his attorney said, essentially, this is how Albany operates. You know, it's not, this is business as usual. And, you know, what you want to think of it, if it's, you want to think it's shady, that's fine, but it's not illegal. This is perfectly acceptable. You know, and you look at the influence of money in politics, and that played a key role in both cases with Glenwood Management, the real estate developer from downstate, but especially in the Skelos case where they tried to make it out to be more of a quid pro quo. You do this and, you know,
you get this.
You get this and, you know, we'll give you donations. You know, I'm going to call you up and we need $50,000 to go to the Senate Republican Campaign Committee so we can give it to our guys somewhere else. And I mean, that's just how business works. I mean, we talk about the LLC loophole where, you know, one person, you know, Matt Hamilton can control 40 different LLCs, limited liability companies, and give the maximum amount to candidates through each LLC. And so therefore, I'm skirting campaign regulations to give the maximum amount many times over. So I'm donating $1 million to one person, but I'm not doing it illegally necessarily. And that's business as usual in Albany. People will say it's not a loophole, it's the law. You are allowed to do this. So it's how it works. That is Albany. And people may not like it, but until they change the laws, that's kind of the reality of what it is.
So the reason our producer David Gustine and I wanted you on so much this week was that you wrote a brilliant article in the Times Union, "Democrats Take Campaign Reform Stance on LLC and Glenwood Money."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. I mean, they say they do, but let's see when it comes down to it.
Right.
But Glenwood Management, in many ways, is the Wizard of Oz in New York politics. It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
And its leader, 101-year-old fellow, has been doing this for many years. My personal understanding of the way politics works, my limited understanding, is that when you give anybody $1 million or $50,000, you expect to get a hell of a lot more than that back.
Well, no, absolutely. And, you know, that's how a lot of people perceive it. And, you know, what was interesting was on Monday, you had the governor go on the Brian Lehrer show on WNYC. And he was basically asked, you know, Glenwood has donated $1 million to you through all these LLCs. You know, what do they get in return? You know, do they influence the way you do business? And he said, look, it doesn't matter if you give me $1 million, doesn't matter if you give me $1,000, doesn't matter if you give me $50. If I'm going to be influenced by the money, then I should resign. I shouldn't be in this business. I'm not supposed to be influenced by the money.
And yet, do you want to answer that? The dot, dot, dot. And yet, interestingly, the governor sets up a Moreland Act commission to investigate, you know, corruption, right? And then he closes down the Moreland Act commission after we read from some people that the real estate industry, which has been giving out all this money, is not very happy, you know, about it. So even there, when the governor says, I'm not influenced, maybe he was.
Well, in the Moreland Commission, we could have an entire another show just about the Moreland Commission, where, you know, it was set up and you go back and you read the materials from the time it was set up with prosecutorial powers, set up with investigative power to, you know, track down and possibly bring the type of cases that Preet Bharara has with Shelley Silver and Dean Skelos. And yet now you have the governor more than a year later coming back and saying the Moreland Commission was to help spur reforms. It was to get the legislature to do something, to finally take a stand on ethics. And I disbanded it when they agreed to take a stand on these things. So it's the tune has changed. The story has changed over time to kind of fit a different narrative, it seems.
Absolutely. And to which I say, to his response, which is obviously self-serving, you know, baloney, and just baloney. And so I think everybody understands that he did a bad thing. It was probably the worst mistake he ever made in politics. And I have to say contemporary politics, because everybody thought it was such nonsense. But what we are talking about now is Leonard Litwin, Glenwood management, with the 101-year-old and what he was running and how much money they were giving. So here you have a whole bunch of guys are going to jail now.
Right.
But these people who are doing the money pushing into each of their campaigns are basically held harmless.
You're referring to the people at Glenwood?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Charlie Dorego, who works for Glenwood, he had a non-prosecution agreement with the U.S. attorney. And so he was a key, I think, lobbyist number one, or whoever they called him in the criminal complaints. He was key in both the Skelos and the Silver cases. So you're going after the U.S. attorney is going after the public figures. I mean, it makes the biggest splash, what have you. But, you know, while Leonard Litwin and Charlie Dorego and other people who were doing, as you said, the money pushing are walking away scot-free, I mean, it does affect their business, right? Because business as usual is changing, perhaps, is going to change. And so they can't push the money the same way that they used to. It's not, you know, after two convictions like that, it does change things a little bit. You can't do it the same way that you always did.
You know, Matt Hamilton of the Albany Times Union, let me just give you my naive view of how this all works. I've known a lot of politicians. I've worked for politicians back in the day. And if they smell money, you don't have to give it to them. They just have to have it. And if they smell money in the persona of somebody, they're going to kiss their shoes or something higher in a way that they would not do, you know, with another citizen. So while it may have been a game changer, it may also be somewhat protective of the lobbyists who don't like to get hit on by everybody and their brother. I mean, I've talked to a lot of lobbyists who think every time the lobbying laws tighten up and they can't do it, it's foreboding. They like it on some level because then they can say no, it's against the law.
Right. And what I'll say is most of the public, I think, agrees with your thoughts on money in politics and the influence. You know, people people look at Albany as a dirty word almost.
And
in a
we,
lot
don't,
of places
and we don't have to look any further, right, than the juries that made these decisions in record time.
Right, right. Well, these were supposed to be objective juries who didn't read about the cases while they were happening, you know, didn't came in with clean slates as to who Sheldon Silver and Dean Skelos are. And yeah, they come back. And in the Silver case, it was only a matter of days and he was convicted. And that was the case that legal experts seemed to think was stickier, that maybe he could get off because the prosecution wasn't showing a really, really good quid pro quo. And then and then the Skelos case, which people thought was maybe a little more solid, ends up, I think it was a day and a half the jury deliberated, maybe a little more than that. And it was over just like that.
Matt, there is, as you've just indicated, the possibility of an appeal here. We understand from printed reports that Shelley Silver expects that that's what's going to happen. After all, it has happened before. You now get to an appellate group that says, hey, the Supreme Court of the United States says theft of honest services mean you have to have a quid pro quo. If I do this, then you'll do that. And that wasn't exactly laid out in these cases, especially in the Shelley case.
Right. Well, and I won't pretend to be a legal expert by any means, so
I will.
Right.
I'll pretend.
But yeah, I mean, Shelley is definitely going to appeal, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, as long as he can continue to pay his attorneys, we've seen no indication that Sheldon Silver is ready to give up. I mean, he was.
Well, would you if you were on your way to jail?
I don't want to go to jail. No, but I mean, it's Shelley's persona, I suppose. I mean, we saw this when he was first arrested. He didn't want to step down as speaker. It was as his conference, the support for him in his conference just kind of fell apart that he decided to resign as speaker, you know, rather than be forced out. But he didn't want to stop being speaker. He and all along he has said, I will be vindicated. I will be vindicated. I did nothing wrong.
And who did they replace him with? Boss Hasty of the Bronx. Yeah, he's the Bronx boss. Now,
former Bronx County Democrat. He's no longer Democratic chair,
but he was. He
yes.
was the Bronx boss, right. You know, Boss Hasty. You know, I'm just saying that. That's all. I wonder, you know, because a lot of people say, come on, in their own defense, look, the legislature isn't all Sheldon Silvers. There's some very good, bright, and bushy-tailed people there who mean well.
And there are.
Do well. Well, yes and no, because my no comes... If you really are as bright and young and principled, let's leave the young out of it, and principled about things, then what happens is you should be, you know, first and foremost ready to make a major change instead of getting, as you say quite correctly, the former Bronx boss as the replacement.
Well, Carl Hasty is a break from what they've known. I mean, we saw it this session, and I've spoken with members who say they go into that conference room, and he was the guy that always kind of sat in the corner and listened. And now he has taken that style as speaker, and he wants to hear everyone's viewpoint. It's encouraged that everyone can speak out. I mean, under Silver, it wasn't the same. Some members felt that they couldn't speak their minds. They couldn't say what they wanted to say. But under Carl, it is different. In members will say, and they're not just trying to protect their speaker and you know make inroads here, but they really do feel that the process is different and that he is listening and he is, as he billed himself when he was running for speaker, a consensus builder.
Now, Matt Hamilton of the Times Union, let me just say, I've been doing this program with people for years and years, and they come in here and they have always said to me, every one of them, we are allowed under Shelley Silver to express our opinions. And that's why, you know, so in other words, I'm not surprised that the narrative or the rhetoric these days is much the same as we used to hear in this very room from the other guys who said they were never told that they couldn't express their opinions and they were never lectured to. Now we got a new boss and now we hear it's okay to express yourself. But that is pretty well, I'm not lying to you, Matt, that's what we were being told, you know, all that time. So I guess the big question on all the insiders' minds in Albany is Andrew Cuomo next? I mean, Barrara has now indicted two of the guys in the room, but what they did was self-serving. Think about it. Shelley Silver got money, you know, he got money that he might not have been entitled to. Dean Skelos was trying to get money for his son. But I am equally, you know, sure. I know Andrew Cuomo. I've known him since I interviewed his father on a weekly show for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's the kind of guy who is going to take, you know, bribes or semi-bribes. But the place that Preet could go with him is on campaign finance. In other words, how have they gotten people to give the money to the campaigns? And that's a different fish.
It is. And whether Andrew Cuomo is next is not necessarily for me to say. I mean, it's the U.S. attorney who has remained tight-lipped about who, if anyone, he is still looking at in Albany.
Yes and no, because he keeps putting tweets out saying, stay tuned.
Well, yeah, but stay tuned does not mean that this person is next or this person is next.
Well, it has in the past.
But he's not saying that, you know, you are the person that is next. I mean, let's wait for it to play out, I suppose. But, you know, I'm trying to think. Part of the Skelos case did have to do with campaign finance, but I don't know if, you know, I don't know what you think where he could be going, but I don't know if just campaign finance, you know, you have to prove the quid pro quo.
Well, I think that the Cuomo people, to be fair, Matt, do fear this. I have seen, now I've been following this quite closely for a while, and I have seen a huge difference emerging in the persona hyphen character hyphen approach of Andrew Cuomo. In other words, he was a guy who couldn't wait to beat de Blasio up, you know, more, the mayor of New York. He was a guy who took on the teachers. For God's sakes, why are you going to lose a million votes in an election because you've decided to beat up on the teachers or public education? But all that has changed now. We got a new governor. I think the new governor, Cuomo, has a long list. And he check. My office will call Shartok, who I've got differences with, say, do you want to be on the air? The governor might like to come. So every perceived opponent is now getting royal treatment. And I believe it may be because Andrew sees that he needs to have a different kind of non-combative persona exemplified to the people.
Well, what you're speaking to, I was reading this morning to do a year-end thing for the Times Union. And what you're speaking to is what Mr. de Blasio spoke to at the end of June, where he said that the governor is out for revenge. He's vindictive.
Which is absolutely true. He was. Yeah.
But I don't know. He is. There has been a sense that he is trying to mend fences, perhaps, in different places. And he's taken, remember, in the first term, you had Zephyr Teachout emerge as this
Indeed.
Person on his left to run against him.
And got an amazing amount of votes.
Well, in a primary, which is a whole nother, compared to a general election.
But so what?
But still. So, you know, you saw that the progressive base was eroding and that progressives were not happy with him anymore. And he has taken a hard progressive lean in 2015. He's gone toward the $15 minimum wage. We're talking about different social issues with criminal justice reform, a special prosecutor, raising the age of criminal responsibility. So he certainly has become more progressive, and he's tried to paint himself as he did in the first term, it seems like, as kind of New York's going to be a national leader, and I'm going to be the one in New York who leads.
And
you
he's know, done
us.
A lot of that. In other words,
right.
When you talk about gay rights and you talk about places like immigration and other things, he's gotten out front. But I'm not talking about positions on policy. I'm talking about what he is showing of himself. I'm a big character student. I think he's showing himself, trying to show himself as a nicer person.
Yeah, that's your opinion. I don't necessarily have an opinion on that, but, you know.
Well, you mean don't necessarily have an opinion on it? When somebody tells you they don't necessarily have an opinion, that means they have an opinion on that.
I will amend. I don't have an opinion on that.
But they're not sharing it.
I don't have an opinion on that.
Yes, you do. Everybody has this stuff. Well, let me very, very quickly talk to you about casinos. I know that's something you've had an interest in, Matt. There are many of us who think there are just too many casinos. You know, this is not the way to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantic City, the casinos, before they even open, they're failing. And now we're opening one in Schenectady, here in the Capital Region, all over New York. Are they doomed?
Analysts, and this has been since Proposition, what was it, 1, Proposition 2, whatever it was in the ballot, it passed. Analysts have said the Northeast is a very saturated casino market. And so it's not a given that these are going to be big boosts. You know, you look at just how many casinos are already in New York. You know, there are exclusivity zones, which is why we're building casinos in the Hudson Valley, Southern Tier, and Capital Region, and not in Western New York, or not all the way up in Northern New York, because, you know, we already have casinos. So,
well, also, you got to go, as Willie Sutton once said, you got to go where the money or the bodies are.
Right. And so what the casinos, it seems like what they need to do is not just make themselves a place where you are going to come and gamble. You need to make yourself a resort, a destination for people to come spend their time. I mean, that's there was a proposal that would have gone down near the Woodbury Commons down in the Hudson Valley, about 50 miles from Midtown Manhattan.
Right.
And, you know, that would have been, you know, come to Woodbury Commons, come shopping, you know, and then come stay at our hotel and, you know, overnight and spend a few dollars gambling. Yeah. Right. So
basically, we all knew the governor didn't want that, because the governor's big thing has been, he knows he's got New York City and Long Island electorally, but he sure didn't show a great propensity for getting votes in upstate. So this Woodbury thing became a little marginalized, the upstate casinos.
Well, and you were talking about mending fences earlier. We saw in 2014 where on the same day that the state decided to ban fracking, the state also gave the quote-unquote Southern Tier casino to Lago, which is more in the Finger Lakes. Yeah. And so the Southern Tier felt like they got punched in the gut. You know, yeah. I think Jeff Gural, who owns Tioga Downs and now is going to get a casino, said that he felt like he got knifed in the back. You know, and so now we've seen the Southern Tier. The Southern Tier just won $500 million to the Upstate Revitalization Initiative. You know, there's a little more of a focus on, you know, getting, you know, reviving the Southern Tier. And like I said, Jeff Gural, who had the Tioga Downs proposal, comes back and they decide they're going to give the fourth casino license to Tioga Downs to expand.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, to your earlier point about, you know, a nicer Andrew Cuomo, I mean, we're sort of seeing that, where people really felt that the government just failed them. And now they, you know, the Southern Tier is getting things. We'll see where it goes, but they're getting things again.
So, Matt, how do you get your stories? I only have a minute. Do people call you up and whisper in your ear? This is a good idea. How do you do that?
Well, I could never reveal my sources.
No,
but it's a lot of shoe leather reporting.
Every time we see, you know, somebody with an exclusive, it's because somebody often called them up and spoke in their ear and said, so I'm not asking you to reveal who they are.
I know.
I'm just the approach of, you ought to look at this.
No, Capital reporting is people have agendas. And so whether it's they want to advance their own issue, whether they want to target someone politically, you know, they'll call and say, look at this. But there are so many things, like go to the Board of Elections website and start digging through campaign finance documents and see what you find. I mean, there's a lot of shoe leather stuff out there. Go through J-COPE documents and see who's lobbying for who and how that connects to campaign donations, what have you. So it's a combination of the two things.
And if somebody does want to reach you, is there an email address they can call you at?
Yes, sir. It's M as in Matthew Hamilton, Hamilton, at timesunion.com.
mhamilton@timesunion.com. Okay, if you've got a skeleton that you think is out there, give him a shout. Okay, so anyway, that is the end of the program. We're out of time. Our guest has been an amazing young man, Matt Hamilton, Capital Bureau reporter for the Albany Times Union. Matt, thanks so much for joining
us. It's a pleasure, Alan. Thank you.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.